Good morning. That's not on. That's okay. Hey, Psalms 122:1. No, you don't have to turn that. I'm going to say it. But Psalm 122:1, my favorite verse, and it says, no, I remember this time. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. So every time we come into the house of the Lord, maybe we can have that spirit of David and just be glad to come into the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, so this morning we know Pastor Ronnie and Miss Sherry, they're out enjoying some family time. So we'll remember them this morning in our prayers and pray that they have a nice vacation. I want to thank our praise team. Praise team, let's give them another round. That was great. Thank you. And I want to thank Brother Mike for his announcements. Appreciate that. And above all the people that I want to thank, who do I want to thank the most?
God.
There you go. Amen. Without God, everything we're doing here is, that's right. It's in vain, right? So this morning, let's go ahead and go to prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer and dedicate the service to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, God, for the opportunity to come in your house, Father. Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that have been up here pouring their hearts out, all that they've prepared for us. Let us not take it for granted. And Lord, we just thank you so much. In your word, Lord, it says in Psalm 127:1, unless you build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. And God, this morning we want to offer before you a work of love, a work of sacrifice, a work of dedication, God, that you can be pleased. May all that happens here be a sweet aroma to you. God, we also pray for our Pastor Ronnie and Sherry as they're out on vacation. May you bless their time together with their family. And God, again, all that we say and do here this morning, may it just again be a sweet aroma to you, God. And again, we thank you for all that took place just to get us here this morning, from our hair to our clothes to getting everything out of the house. God, we thank you that we are in your house, and may we have that spirit like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. Get my tablet. Do we have the slide up? Slide, sermon slide. There we go. So this morning, we're going to be talking about something that in a lot of ways, a lot of people think it's a very difficult subject. So who here thinks knowing the will of God is difficult? Show of hands. Yeah, it can be, right? Okay, so is it really difficult? Well, we're going to do a little test, okay? We're going to do a little survey. If you're a parent here this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand. Parent of a child, go ahead and stand. Wow. Wow. A lot of parents. Okay. Let me check my notes. No, I'm joking. Okay, parents. All right. So, guys, let's give all the parents a round of applause. That doesn't sound too good. Let's do it again. All right, parents, please be seated. You guys, as parents, as you know, I'm a parent as well. We make endless sacrifices continuously, don't we? And so we want to thank you for your constant love and ministry to your own children. But parents, I have a question for you, and you're actually going to be a very big part of the sermon today, me figuring out this question. Is it difficult to know the will of God? So as a parent, do you have desires for your children? Even maybe the kids are old and grown, right? Do you still have desires for them? Do you have goals for them? Do you have hopes? Do you have dreams? So let's think about it. Whether your kids are old, when they were little, when you wanted something from them, when you had a desire from them, did you make it like a mystery for them to figure it out? Did you say, I'm going to leave 50 clues around the house for you to figure out you got to clean your room? Anybody? Because if you do, we need to talk after the service. It's a little weird, right? So if you didn't do that, right, you didn't make your children go way out of the way to figure out what it was that you wanted, correct? So why do we think, and back up, If us, who at times can be evil, if we don't make it difficult for our children to know our will, why on earth do we think that God would make it extremely difficult? So, my argument this morning is that not that it's difficult to know the will of God, but that at times it's difficult to follow or accept, okay? All right, so this morning, our studies are going to take us into the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where we meet a disciple, and a disciple means a follower of Christ, right? Which at this period that we're coming to in the book of Acts is actually illegal and is punishable with imprisonment and even death, okay? So, before we get into the book of Acts, we're going to do a little background. And guys, I got like animations on the slide. Normally I have my little clicker, but someone has lost it. We're not going to say who. Never mind. It's gone, but that's all right. We're going to be a team today. So knowing the will of God. Okay, next slide. So let's get a little background on the book of Acts. The book of Acts, all right, named Acts because it literally records the Acts of the Apostles after the crucifixion and ascension of Christ. Believed to be written around 60 to 62 AD, and there's some points there if you want to know why that date's given. And it's a unique book in the New Testament because it is the only sequel to the four gospel accounts. So that's actually pretty cool. And, of course, the author is Luke, who also authored the book of?
Luke.
There you go. All right, we got it. We got it. All right, let's see here. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. So if you could turn there in your Bible, Acts chapter 9. And if when you get there, if you can say amen.
Amen.
So before we actually get into our main text, I want us to go ahead and talk a little bit about what we missed. You know, the Bible, we shouldn't approach it like a shopping cart, right? Sometimes, you know, you turn into it, grab this, leave everything else out. The Bible is, you know, the books of the Bible, they were actual letters, you know? If somebody wrote you a letter, you don't just say, I'm going to go to the middle, bam, okay, I'm going to take this. You read the entire letter, correct? And that's the way the books of the Bible were written, as an actual letter. So, let's catch us up on what we missed, all right? Everybody can see? Chapter 1, we witness the ascension of Christ into heaven. Disciples gather in the upper room. We see the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter's sermon, and we see the beginning of the church. Very important. Where does the church begin? Acts chapter 2. Chapter 3, we have the growing of the church. We see the lame man healed at the temple, Peter's second sermon, okay? 4, we see the beginning of the persecution of the church. We see Peter, John arrested, threatened, and released, and we see the continued strengthening of the church. We see the first instance of God purifying the church with Ananias and Sapphira, which was a big deal. Continued miracles by the apostles, and we see the growth of the church as well. And then we also see the growing of persecution with the church as well. 6, we see 7 men chosen to perform a deacon-like ministry. Some people believe that this is where the deacons get their ministry from. But if you want to study more on that, we can talk about that later. Oh, go back. All right, and we also see the continued persecution of the church. 7. See the preaching and stoning of Stephen, persecution of the church steadily increasing. 8, and this is where we meet the man Saul, zealous for persecuting the church, correct? So that brings us to chapter 9. And let's go ahead and read chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. And what I wanted to give that context again. No, not today. I'm not going to leave you standing today. Everybody can stay seated. Where was I? Okay. Now I'm thrown off. All right. Verse 1, okay? But anyway, I wanted to give that context, so guys, so we understand what are we coming into. We're going to talk about a man that was faced with the will of God, but we've got to understand kind of like what he was going through. Why was it a big deal? Well, now we know. We see what's going on. We see the church, number one, we see it starting. We see what, as the church continued to prosper, what else started happening? There you go. Somebody said it. Persecution started to grow, correct? All right, amen? So now we're going to see, now we see this man. We meet Saul, big deal. Okay, now we're going to go verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses, okay? And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus,
to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard to kick against the pricks. So, verse 6, and he trembled, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and brought him to Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. So, again, steady persecution. We see the church beginning. As they're growing, as things are getting better, things are also getting worse. Now we see Saul, who was a very zealous man. He wanted to serve God, and in a lot of ways, he thought he was doing the right thing. These men are coming against God, and I'm doing everything in my power to stop them. And that's my calling, and that's what I need to do. And so Saul, he was misled. Okay, he didn't get the update, or he didn't accept the update that Jesus the Messiah had come, and so he continued on with his mission of persecuting the church, right? And as he goes, verse 1, Acts 9, 1, what is he doing? He goes out to start capturing members of the church. What was the early church called? They were members of the way. Who said that? There you go. Very good. Very good. That's right. The early church, before we were known as Christians, we were members of the way. Oh, you're one of those people of the way, you know. And then Christian is actually a derogatory term. And in the beginning, you were just a little Christ. And now, of course, we've turned that on his head, and we love the name to be called Christian. Amen. All right. So we see Saul. Now he's been blinded, his Damascus experience. He's blinded on the way, right? He's going out thinking he's serving God. God shows up and says, What are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? Saul, everything that Saul had been doing up to that point was wrong. And he had to accept that. And God blinded him. He couldn't even walk, led him to a house, and there he remained. And what does it say, verse 9? 3 days. He's been in this house now 3 days without sight and without food or drink. Saul's in a bad way. Now we're going to come to our main text in verse 10, okay? Verse 10, here's where we meet the disciple that we're going to focus on today and him following the will of God, okay? Verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Why is this a big deal?
God tells him, go here to this house, go see this guy, lay hands on him, and he'll receive his sight. Big deal? You're going to a house and you're laying hands on somebody. It's no big deal, right? Oh, it's a huge deal. Why is this a big deal? It's Saul! Hold on. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. I'm on track. I just had to check, okay? All right. This is a big deal because it is Saul, the persecutor of the church. But Ananias is a man of God, just like we are people of God, and we love serving God. God says, go do this, and we just all jump right up, and we say, yes, I'm going. Today is the day, and I'll do whatever you say, God, all the time. Is that what happened? Right? Ananias thought maybe God needed to check his facts, or like I like to say, he needed to check his Equifax, you know? He needed to maybe... So let's see what this man of God, this man called by God, how does he respond? Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord,
I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but verse 14, you know, he also has the authority from the chief priest to kind of like, you know, bind up and arrest any of the saints, anybody that calls on your name. So Ananias wasn't quite sure that him and God were talking about the same people, because, you know, Damascus is a big city. You know, he can't be talking about that Saul. No, not God. And furthermore, God already showed Saul who was coming. So now you've already told him who I am, Lord, and now you want me to go to him. Oh, and by the way, I could die, I could go to prison. I mean, there's no way we could be talking about the same person. Am I right? God, you know what I'm talking about, right? We're talking about Saul. Yeah, okay. And of course, God not wanting him to be in confusion, right? Because, you know, maybe we think, oh man, he should have just got up and went, just like we do all the time, right? Every time God tells us, we're like, whoop, going, bam. That's right, right? Is that what we do? No. And you know, we see a lot of instances in the Bible where God has to work with people. And so I know he works with us too. Verse 15, let's see the response of God. Even though Ananias, he's a little sweating right now. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias is in a bit of a situation here, right? He's gotten, what is the will of God for Ananias? There you go, that's right. You know, and guys, let me do a pause button here. You know, my style of preaching is more interactive, you know. So if you don't want to answer, that's fine. But for those of you who enjoy more interactive, well, then amen, you're in the right place today. If you don't have to, so don't feel like, you know. Anyway, moving on. So, all right, replay. All right, so now we said what? The will of God for Ananias is to? There you go, to go to Saul. You have to go. In fact, God doesn't say, hey, Ananias, I tell you what, man, stop by this place, get yourself something to eat. You know, I know you're maybe a little tired. He says, what does he say to him, verse 15? He said, go thy way. Ananias, you get up and you go to where I'm telling you to go. Whoa, that's pretty big. So, the will of God was for Ananias to go to Saul. Now, let's do something cool here. All right, let's look at the word will, okay? The definition of will, okay? What does it mean, the will of God? Now, this is gonna be revelation to a lot of you guys. I thought I knew what the will of God was. I thought for sure, man, I got it, I know it. You about to get messed up, okay? All right, so there you go. That's the Greek way. That's the Greek writing of the word will. All right, next. All right, ethelo, to will, to wish, go on. Phonic spelling is ethelo. Okay, everybody can say it with me. Ethelo. Ethelo, there you go. Now, what is the definition? To desire, wish, is commonly used of the Lord extending his best offer to the believer. Wanting, desire. You know, we're about to learn something kind of scary. Next note, the will of God does not mean that something is going to happen, but rather it is what the plan is. God's will is the ultimate what could, should be, and oftentimes is what's happening, but it's not a guarantee. Next. Evidence of this is seen in 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 5, 2 Peter 3, 9. I'm not creating a new doctrine here. In those verses, we see that God's will is for the whole world to come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Does that happen?
So the will of God, what does it mean? What does that note say again? Does that mean that something is going to happen? But rather, it's what the plan is, okay? So, much like our wills for our children, God has wills for us. But the reality is, our children don't always live out the desires that we have for them. Ain't that right? So instead of the best that we may have for them, they may get just enough of what they need. And that's how it can be with God. So let's do a little exercise here, okay? If you're here and your spouse is next to you, I would like for you to turn to your spouse. Turn to your spouse. If you have a spouse here today, turn to your spouse and look at them. You don't have to, you know. However, now, I want you guys to hold hands with your spouse. Amen. Turn hands to your spouse, or turn hands. Turn to your spouse, hold hands with your spouse. And now, I want you guys to ask you and your spouse looking at each other, ask each other this question. Are we living, you can repeat after me, are we living God's best offer for our lives? Thank you. And singles as well. If you're here today and you're single, it's the same question. God has a best offer, a best desire, a best dream, a best wish for your life. And are you living that? So what does that mean? Ananias had a call, right? Did he obey? Did he obey the call? Okay, well, let's find out. Verse 17. Verse 17, when you get there, say amen. Amen. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee on the way as thou camest, have sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. They were all afraid of him and believed not. Oh, where am I? I done skipped over. Sorry about that, guys. And when he had received me, verse 19, and when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So Ananias, he took the best offer that God had. It was scary. Can you imagine if you can go back in time and see Ananias approaching this mission? God tells him where to go, who to find, ask for this guy, find his house, go there, see him, lay hands on him. Can you imagine the anxiety approaching that house? This wasn't an easy task. But God did make his will known. Am I right? We make our wills known to our children as well, don't we? So because Ananias obeyed, what is the result of his obedience? What was the result of him taking the best offer from God? Well, as you know, there are 66 books in the Bible, 39 old, 27 new. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, how many were written by Paul? Sorry, let me back up. Saul, the one who was persecuting the church, was also named, the Roman name, Paul, and we know him as the Apostle Paul. So, of the 27 New Testament books, the Apostle Paul wrote 13. The Apostle Paul dominates a lot of the New Testament because Ananias was faithful, he went, and he took a hard call, and he listened to the will of God. Now, could God have done it another way? Absolutely. Absolutely. But Ananias did his part, and we have the result. We have the blessing of reading much of it. So, understand what I'm saying. Nothing will ever stop the ultimate plans of God, but there are many times that we can get less, and sometimes much, much less than the best offer that God has in store of us, or in store for us. All right? So, basically, in closing, what I want to say is that God actually does have a will for our lives. There is a call on our life. There is a purpose to our life. But if you go back to the last slide, the will of God It's a desire. It's a hope. It's a dream. It's God's best offer. But we can do things to get less than the best. So let me give you an example. God has given me a sermon illustration tool this morning. I wasn't expecting it. It's a very expensive sermon illustration tool. But this is my cell phone. It's all cracked. Can everybody see? You can't see? Hold on. No, I'm just... It's already busted, right? So this morning, this happened this morning on the way to church. Very expensive sermon tool here. So I'm busy. You know, we had to take two cars. My mom's here. My nephews are here with us this morning. And, you know, I'm getting busy. I put my bag. I do everything like that in the back seat of my car. Melinda's in the van, and we're backing out. Anyway, I forget my phone on the top of my car. So I get out of my neighborhood down the road, and then something very kind of weird happens. My phone tells me that my phone has disconnected Bluetooth. I thought that was kind of weird. I'm like, man, I'm about, like, what, 7 miles from the house? I'm like, that phone has never done that before. How could I be connected still? And if I forgot my phone at the house, because I was like, I guess I don't have it. I must be at the house. Why would it disconnect right here? So I thought that was weird, but that wasn't the only weird thing that happened. Melinda, who had been behind me the whole time, all of a sudden I look up and she's gone in the rearview mirror. She's gone. And I'm like, what is going on here? So then, of course, I turn around and then I connect the dots. My phone was on my roof, okay? And now, I don't even know, Melinda saw the whole thing. She had to do some evasive maneuvering and then get it before it got obliterated and things like that. You know, maybe that's a whole other story she'll tell one day. But at any rate, I now stand here before you with much less. I can't just be like, oh, yeah, hold on, guys, right? I can, but I'm going to pay for it, right? I can't even just do the swiping anymore, can I? So I received much less than what I had. What does that mean? How many times in our lives do we make decisions, poor choices, to get much less than God's best offer? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word that never returns void, God. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sister here this morning and for those that may not know you as their Lord and Savior. And God, I thank you that all things work together to the good of those that love you, Lord, even with me, with my mistake of this phone. God, you know, it's a very unfortunate thing, and I don't even know what we're going to do from here. But God, I know that you used it for your glory this morning. But God, that's not the point. I should have been responsible and put that phone where it was supposed to be. But my negligence led to that. And so, Father, I thank you that as we read the scriptures and as we studied this morning, there were men and women of God, in particular our brother Ananias, who even though he was so afraid and he didn't know what to do, God, he was willing. He was willing to accept your will. He was willing to do what you called him to do, Lord, and he was willing to live your best offer for his life. And so, Lord, I pray that today, many of us, we don't know what your will is. We don't know, Lord, we know. And if we don't know, Father, you're not an evil God that won't show us what it is your will is, Lord. And so, Father, if we as parents tell our children our will, then, Lord, you will make your will known to us because it's what you want us to do. Just as you told Ananias, but Father, I pray for the strength, for the courage to be able to execute on your will, to be able to do your will when we do understand and realize what you've called us to do. Father, many of us here, as we looked at our spouses, we examined our lives, and we realized that, you know what? I understand that the will of God doesn't mean what's going to happen. It is what could happen. It is the best offer that God has for my life, and I want to accept it. But many people here today, maybe they're saying, as they look at each other, maybe we're not living God's best will for our lives. And not just the couples, people, everyone. Are we all living the best version of life that you have ordained and you've called us to live? This is a difficult topic, Lord, to talk about, but Father, it's from your word. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning for those of us who are here that are not living the best version, the best offer, the best desire that you have for us. Give us the strength like you gave Ananias.
Help answer the questions that we may have so that we can live that life for you. God, this morning it's about you, and I thank you for showing up here today, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.